Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom, and today we're going to continue talking about Confucius. Okay, he's a wise English philosopher. Oh, I'm sorry. He's a wise Chinese philosopher. And, of course, he had lots of sayings and some lessons to teach us. But,
good stuff. Very good stuff to teach us. Yeah.
Especially from the Analects of Confucius. It's quite a popular book, but we're not really talking about Confucius himself or his sayings or his wisdom.
No.
We're actually talking about something called these Confucius Institutes.
And classrooms.
And Confucius classrooms, which are institutes set up in various countries around the world to promote Chinese language and culture, to facilitate language and cultural exchanges between China and the rest of the world. China, of course, wants to be a big buddy, a big friend to everybody. And, of course, I'm being sarcastic here.
Not really.
But, of course, they've got something in mind there. They want to promote their propaganda, as someone said. It's an important part of their overseas propaganda setup. That's what one of the members of the Politburo said.
They've been accused of restraining free speech, too, which is
I wonder what they're
deal.
Doing there. Or how that accusation came about. But we're going to talk about some specific examples here of what they've been up to in various countries around the world. So, without further delay, let's get to it. Let's read the entire contents of our lesson right now, and then let's discuss it in a completely neutral fashion.
Many U.S. college professors have expressed their concerns over Confucius Institutes, saying that educational exchange is a good thing, but it should not come at the expense of academic autonomy. For example, the Dalai Lama's visit to North Carolina State University was canceled due to an objection from its Confucius Institute, though the official rationale was lack of resources. Han Ban is willing to donate money to universities so that they can teach Chinese, which sounds like a great deal. But the consequences of accepting the offer run the risk of violating Western principles of academic freedom. Despite the fact that China experienced decades of an anti-Confucius campaign in the 20th century, the amiable teacher remains a universally recognizable symbol of Chinese culture. Therefore, since Xi Jinping took office as China's president, he has sought to elevate Confucius. The CPC has also tuned its party tenets to sound more Confucian and played down the previous denunciation of the sage as a personification of China's feudal traditions and hierarchical values. Confucianism is thus used as an instrument of soft power to win over those who are on the alert for China's rapid rise to become an economic and military powerhouse. Another reason the state has adopted a more positive stance on Confucianism is competition. China's neighbors, including Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, and Vietnam, consider themselves members of a pan-Confucian culture. The new attention given to Confucius and the opening of hundreds of Confucius institutes can be seen as an attempt to own the Confucius brand. After all, Confucius Institute sounds a lot better than Mao Zedong Institute. It's clear that China is making a lot of effort to soften and polish its image. However, whether rehabilitating Confucius and putting him to political purposes will bring about the desired effect remains to be seen.
Okay, we're talking about these Confucius Institutes. And what's the other one? The Confucius School?
Classrooms.
Yeah, okay.
Confucius Classrooms and Confucius Institutes.
Indeed, and they are providing money and classrooms and teachers to universities all over the world to promote Chinese language and culture and to facilitate cultural exchanges. Well, many U.S. college professors have expressed their concerns over Confucius Institutes, saying that educational exchange is a good thing, but it should not come at the expense of academic autonomy. Okay, so yes, these professors, they think, well, yeah, it's a good idea to have these educational exchanges. It's a good idea, but they've expressed their concerns. They are concerned. Maybe they're a little worried about this. They're thinking about it. They need to consider whether this is a good thing. It should not come at the expense of academic autonomy. Mm. At the expense of means that you kind of sacrifice this thing.
Right.
If we have these educational exchanges, then do we really need to give up something in return for that? Do we need to give up our academic autonomy? Autonomy means that you're independent and nobody really controls you. You can do whatever you want to. In mainland China, they supposedly have these autonomous areas. Like, is it Guizhou or something? That's an autonomous region. They're supposed to be governing themselves. How much they actually do govern themselves, I don't know. But in any case, universities should be free to teach what they want to. They shouldn't have to have somebody control these things. Academic just has to do with school and education and college and all that good stuff.
Right. For example, here's an example of them having to sacrifice their autonomy because of the Confucius Institute. Here's what happened. The Dalai Lama, he wanted to visit North Carolina State University, but his visit was canceled due to an objection from its Confucius Institute. They said, hey, we hear that the Dalai Lama's coming. We don't want him here. And the school canceled the Dalai Lama's visit, and they used the official rationale, or their official excuse was, oh, we can't afford to bring him here. We don't have the funds. We're lacking the resources we need. Resources just means the money they need. Now, if you have a rationale for something, it's just a set of reasons or a logical basis for some sort of action that you take. So that's what they did. They said, hey, we don't want him coming. And before you knew it, they canceled his visit. And they said, hey, we just didn't have enough money for his plane ticket.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, I think we all know what really happened.
Yeah.
Of course, China does not like the Dalai Lama because he talks about independence for Tibet. They don't like that. So, of course, they always get mad when the U.S. president meets with the Dalai Lama.
I know.
They always protest. So they probably threatened to take away the finances for that program at NC State there. And they said, well, we can't, let them take away that money. So let's just come up with an excuse here. Oh, we didn't have enough resources. The auditorium was not available at the time.
We couldn't pay for the Dalai Lama's hotel.
Yeah, yeah. Or there weren't any laundry facilities available to clean his robes properly for his visit. Or,
so dumb.
Nearest airport was really far away.
Yeah.
The flights from Tibet were experiencing storms over the Pacific or something. So they came up with all sorts of excuses, and therefore he did not visit NC State University. Because of that objection. We object. We don't want him here. He doesn't speak very good Mandarin or whatever. And this is the official rationale. That's basically your explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and let's move on now. Again, we're talking about Hanban. That's kind of the branch of the Chinese government that finances these schools. Hanban is willing to donate money to universities so that they can teach Chinese, which sounds like a great deal. But the consequences of accepting the offer run the risk of violating Western principles of academic freedom. And as we've said before, they're willing to finance these institutes. They're willing to donate that money, but they've got some scheme there.
Motive,
so you know they're
yeah.
up to something, okay?
Yeah.
They're not just giving that money just because they're nice.
So be careful when you take money. There are consequences of accepting that money. Consequences just means there are results or effects that happen because of an action that you take. And sometimes those consequences of accepting the offer run the risk of violating Western principles of academic freedom. If you violate something, you go against something. For example, we talk about violating the law, which means you do something that's illegal. You don't obey the law. So you break a law or fail to comply with a rule or an agreement. Here we're saying you're going against Western principles of academic freedom. We believe that you should have freedom to study and express your opinions in school, although even in the U.S. we're having problems with this lately. So, because kids want a safe zone, so you can't always express yourself. So we're having other problems besides the Chinese organization of Hanban.
Indeed. So, yeah, I guess students of Chinese at Western universities should not be afraid that they'll be kicked out of class just because they mentioned the Tiananmen incident in an example sentence, okay? Or if they say that the Dalai Lama is a nice guy, or if they dare say that the Diaoyutai Islands actually belong to Japan, you'll get in big trouble there.
I just read that they closed the Tiananmen Museum in Hong Kong.
Oh,
because there were more and more strict rules from the government, so they thought, this is crazy. We're just going to close this place up. Now, before we move on to the next paragraph, Tom, why don't we go ahead and take our break here, listen to our Chinese teacher, who has really good Chinese. Just listen, and then we'll be back.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 昨天我们提到呢，因为孔子学院跟中国的政府有过多的牵扯，所以许多的大学就拒绝了往来。而今天一刚开始就谈到美国大学教授的想法。第一个句子提到 ,Many US college professors have expressed their concerns over Confucius Institutes.Saying that educational exchange is a good thing, but it should not come at the expense of academic autonomy. 在这里提到呢，当然咯，他们非常的担心、担忧，我们用了这个名词 concern。而呢，他们说这样子的教育的交流当然是件好事，不过呢，不应该以学术自主 academic autonomy 来当作是代价。其实我们看到这个片语 expense 本来有费用、价钱的意思，但是如果我们提到 at the expense of something， 就代表着以什么为代价。举例来说，他为了完成工作，就付上了健康为代价。She completed the work at the expense of her health. 而 academic 在这里当作形容词，则是有学术的意思，学术自主 academic autonomy， 学术自由则是可以说 academic freedom。接着在第一段的最后一个句子提到 Hanban is willing to donate money to universities so that they can teach Chinese, which sounds like a great deal, but the consequences of accepting the offer run the risk of violating Western principles of academic freedom.当然有人愿意捐钱给大学来教中文是一个很棒的协议，在这里 a great deal 就是代表着很棒的交易或者是协议的意思，但是后果则是呢，要冒着违反学术自由的原则。在这里首先提到的名词 consequence 则是有后果、结果的意思，我们说要承担后果就可以说To accept the consequences. 而这样子呢，接受了这样的提议，则冒着这样的风险，是违背了学术自由。在这里面的违背，我们可以使用 violate 这个动词。我们常说违反医德，就可以说 to violate medical ethics.
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue with our lesson, shall we? Again, we're talking about the controversy that is going on concerning the Confucius Institutes and Confucius classrooms in universities and schools all over the world. Okay, so yes, indeed, it's nice to be able to get these things for free, but is it good to get them for free at the risk of having to violate your principles of free speech and
Tom,
academic freedom and stuff like that?
Remember the rule, nothing is ever free.
That's right.
Okay.
So if sounds like it's too good to be true,
it is.
Probably is. Okay, well, despite the fact that China experienced decades of an anti-Confucius campaign in the 20th century, the amiable teacher remains a universally recognizable symbol of Chinese culture. Okay, so yes, indeed, if you know your history during the Cultural Revolution and the Great Leap Forward and that period of history in the 50s and 60s and 70s of China, they were kind of against Confucius. Okay, they kind of said he was a bad apple, he was a bad influence. And, of course, they wanted to destroy all signs of ancient Chinese culture.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to start anew with the Communist Party. We're turning over a new leaf. We're beginning a new page in the history of China. We're getting rid of that, all that old feudalism from Confucius and stuff like that. So they had this anti-Confucius campaign. A campaign, of course, is a series of events in which they try to bring about some result. It could be an advertising campaign to promote a product or service. It could be a political campaign to get somebody elected to office. This particular campaign was kind of propaganda against the ancient Chinese philosopher Kongzi or Kongfuzi or Confucius.
It's hard to believe because Confucius just did so many good things and wrote great things. So it says here that despite that, even though they were really campaigning widely against him, he still today remains a universally recognizable symbol of Chinese culture. When you see him, you think, yeah, that's Chinese culture right there. Universally means by everyone, everyone, everywhere, recognizable. They see him, they know who he is, and that he stands or represents, or represents Chinese culture. Therefore, since Xi Jinping took office, he's the current president in Chinese, of course, he has sought to elevate Confucius. He's trying to, you know, bring back his good reputation and use him to promote things he wants to promote. He's using Confucius, you could say. If you elevate something, you lift or raise them. And here you're just trying to raise someone's reputation or use them so that they're more important or appear more impressive. Why? Well, the CPC, that's the Chinese party, the Communist Party there, they've also tuned its party tenets to sound more Confucian. If you tune something, you just adjust it a little bit. We use it when we talk about music to tune the piano, tune the violin. If you tune a party tenet, a tenet are things that you believe in. You could also think of a tenet as just being some sort of principle or a belief. So they're kind of altering or changing their principles a little bit so it sounds like, oh, they're very Confucian sounding now.
Right, so basically nowadays they're kind of changing their tune.
Yeah.
They actually like Confucius now, and they're playing down the previous denunciation of the Confucian sage. Okay, so here if you play something down, you kind of say, well, we didn't really mean it back then, or things have changed now, so that's not so important. They try to make it sound like it's not as important as it was. This is the denunciation of this particular sage. Denunciation just means you kind of say someone or something is bad. You condemn that person as being bad or undesirable, and they're playing down that denunciation. We were wrong then. It wasn't the right idea, or maybe we were just misunderstood at the time. We've actually liked him all along. You Westerners have just kind of distorted things.
Yeah.
You're always misunderstanding us Chinese. And, of course, a sage, of course, is like a very wise kind of person, especially if it happened many, many years ago. Different kinds of philosophers and sages in Chinese culture, like Laozi or Mengzi or Zhuangzi, people like that. They're all famous philosophers or old sages.
It says here he was the personification of China's feudal traditions and hierarchical values. So he kind of represented, when you looked at him, his person actually represented some of these things that they were trying to tear down, especially during the Cultural Revolution in China. But he was not seen as a positive person by the Communist Party for years, for decades, it says here. He represented or was the personification of feudal traditions, those traditions that they were trying to get rid of. They wanted to just forget their past in China and start a new history, you could say. Hierarchical just means always being more respectful for people above you, that you really appreciated things of rank. And remember, when Chinese communism came into being, they were all comrades. We were all equal. Well, we know they're not all equal, do we? We know that now. Not everyone is equal.
Some people are more equal than others.
That's what we say, yeah.
As we often say. So, yeah, back then, during the Cultural Revolution, they were saying that that was bad. Oh, feudalism, that's bad. Hierarchy, that's bad. We're all comrades in the communist system, so therefore, Kongzi is bad. But now they like him. They hated him then. I guess they like him now.
Remember during the Cultural Revolution, you couldn't even be respectful to your parents.
Yeah. You could actually be asked to criticize your
teachers or your parents.
They'd be sent to labor camps and stuff
Terrible.
Like that. And Confucianism is thus used as an instrument of soft power to win over those who are on the alert for China's rapid rise to become an economic and military powerhouse. So now they're using Confucianism as an instrument. An instrument could be some kind of tool, a special machine that helps you perform some scientific function, or it could be a musical instrument.
Here it's literal, though. It's figurative. It's not literal. It's not a machine. It's a tool, a device, something that you can use to achieve what you need to. Of soft power, they're trying to use it as an instrument of soft power to win over those who are on the alert for China's rapid rise. If you're on the alert for something, guys, you're looking for it. Maybe you're on the alert for a gas station because you're running low on gas. So you're saying, hey, watch for a gas station. So they're on the alert for China's rapid rise because some of us out here think that they're trying to become the most powerful nation in the world.
Some people are kind of scared of that.
And yeah.
Another reason the state, the Chinese government, has adopted a more positive stance on Confucianism is competition. Of course, they like Confucius now. They've got competition now. China's neighbors, including Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, and Vietnam, consider themselves members of a pan-Confucian culture. Here in Taiwan, for the most part, you all like Confucius. South Korea even claims that Confucius was Korean himself.
No.
I've heard that before.
I know, they do.
And Japan, of course, claim him as well. Vietnam, I didn't hear that before, but I guess they like him too. So they're saying, hey, you know, if those guys like Confucius, we got to claim him back. Actually, he's ours. So, yeah, you guys can't steal him from us.
Yeah.
So this new attention given to Confucius and the opening of hundreds of Confucius institutes around the world can be seen as an attempt to own the Confucius brand. Like I kind of just said, hey, this is our brand. We have this copyright. You guys can't steal that from us. Confucius is ours.
So the new attention given to him and the opening of hundreds of these institutes and classrooms can be seen. People are viewing these openings as an attempt to own the Confucius brand. China sounds like they want Confucius back for themselves. After all, Confucius Institute sure sounds a lot better than the Mao Zedong Institute. I know that he is still respected in China, but most of us who have studied history know he did a lot of bad things, too.
Kind of depends on who you're talking to. So, indeed, it's better to have the Confucius Institute and not the Mao Zedong Institute, or the Jiang Zemin Institute, Hu Jintao, Deng Xiaoping, all those people. Those names would really sound pretty awful. Well, it's clear that China is making a lot of effort to soften and polish its image. And, of course, they're always blaming the Americans for trying to make the Chinese look bad. We all know that China is just a nice, cute, little, cuddly panda. panda bear who would never harm anybody and never want anything in return. However, whether rehabilitating Confucius and putting him to political purposes will bring about the desired effect remains to be seen. So, yes, the jury is still out here. We don't know exactly what's going to happen as they rehabilitate Confucius. Rehabilitate just means to make somebody better, especially after they were injured. Oh, I need to have some rehabilitation in my leg. I broke it last month and it still hasn't healed. And yeah, they're using him for political purposes. Will it bring about or cause the desired effects? We're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, we're going to. But for now, we're just going to leave things as they are and listen to our Chinese teacher.
接着我们来看到在第二段中间的句子提到 The CPC has also tuned its party tenets to sound more Confucian. 在这里提到呢，中国的共产党呢也做了一些党的宗旨的调整。Tune 在这里当作动词，也就是有调整频率，也就是调整的意思。而 tenets 则是有宗旨、信条或者是教义的意思。而他们希望自己听起来更儒家的这种取向，而且要淡化之前谴责这个孔子是中国封建传统甚至是阶级制度价值观的化身。这后面有几个名词，首先我们来看一下 denunciation 则是有谴责的意思，而 sage 则是指圣人咯，而 play down 则是有贬低或者是降低什么的重要性。我们来造个句子， He tried to play down my part in the work and play up his own， 就是代表着他极力要贬低我在这个工作上的重要性而抬高他自己的分量。接着我们来看到第三段中间写着 The new attention given to Confucius and the opening of hundreds of Confucius institutes can be seen as an attempt to own the Confucius brand. 中国呢，他们在所给孔子最新的关注 The new attention 还有开设了数百间的孔子学院都可以看作他们尝试想要回头来拥有孔子的这个品牌。在这里面的名词 attempt 则是有尝试努力的意思。这篇文章的最后一句提到 However, whether rehabilitating Confucius and putting him to political purposes will bring about the desired effect remains to be seen。在这里呢，我们的主词是从 whether 一直到 the desired effect 都是用来当作是一个名词子句来当作主词，表示前面的这个子句呢，它的结果 remains to be seen 还仍有待观察。而在这里面提到的则是说恢复孔子的名誉，而且把它用于政治的目的是否Whether 能不能够带来他所想要的这样的效果还有待于观察。在这里的 bring about 就是有引起跟造成的意思。 OK， 以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
Well, that's it for today, guys. We hope you learned a lot more EnglishWe encourage you to study some of these terms. Try practicing them out loud so your pronunciation becomes really natural and native sounding. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.